Live from Harlem in New York City, it's The Ramble with Alex Bennett. That's me. Here he is, ladies and gentlemen, Larry Bubbles Brown. Hi, Larry.
Hey, Alex. Not the world traveler that you are.
But, well, that'd be the big deal, you know.
You've been to Lillehammer.
I've been to Lillehammer. Yeah, yeah.
30 years ago.
Was it that long ago?
94, yeah.
My God. Phew. That long?
Yeah.
Boy, you know, how time flies, you know? It's amazing. 30 years
gone in a flash.
Wow. I liked Lillehammer. It was terrific.
You know? You went over there with Thompson and...
Yeah, I went with Thompson, and do we take anybody else? I don't think so. I don't think so.
So who, did the sponsors pay for all that travel and everything?
Yeah, well, Coca-Cola did a thing where they would take various radio stations around the United States, get the morning people, and send them over for 3 days to the Olympics. And so there were like a group of us for 3 days, and then another group would come in for 3 days, and another group. And by the time they were through, they got, for their money, three days of free publicity on all these radio stations across the United States, only to be replaced by another group of stations and another group of stations over the period of the Olympics. The first time I went, we went to the Barcelona Olympics, and when I went there, we actually got to go to the opening ceremonies, and because we were the first bunch there, and that was wonderful. And then also in Barcelona, we went to a Elton John concert at a mini stadium.
Really?
Yeah, and if you ever have a chance, you go online somewhere, you can probably find the Barcelona Elton John concert, and that was the concert I was at. So we went to that. You know, it was really nice. I also bumped into O.J. Simpson.
Before the incident.
Well, Marjorie got O.J. Simpson to buy our drinks and coffee.
Really?
Yes. Yes.
So he's a charming guy.
Well, he was then.
Yeah.
However, you know, he was just being nice to Lori, you know, because she's very charming in her own way. And he said, guess who just paid for our drinks? I said, who? O.J. Simpson.
Yeah. Wow. That's hilarious. Yeah. I never heard that one.
Yeah. So I rooted for him when he had his trial.
In fact... we were doing the show when the verdict came in. I remember that.
Were we really?
October 3rd,
95. Yeah. Wow. But were we amazed at the verdict?
I remember the audience. Everyone was kind of stunned, yeah.
Really? Because everybody was thinking he'd be found guilty.
Right. And I think the jury was out like for an hour, weren't they, or something like that.
Well, I think one of the reasons he got off because the jury probably said to themselves, they didn't supply us with enough information that we can say he's guilty. You know, he had a brilliant defense, and the prosecution was just terrible. They were just horrible.
They were horrible. Yeah.
Yeah. Do I think he killed his wife? To this day, I don't know. You know, people ask me, do you think he was guilty? And I said, not my place to say it, you know? I never found him to be, I just never had an opinion on that either way. Everybody goes, oh, he did it for sure. Yeah, he did it. And I went, hey, to begin with, the jury didn't say that, you know?
You're right.
And I have to go along with the jury. I have to go along with what their assessment of the situation was. you know.
Yeah, I think I kind of feel the same way you do. He sounds like, from what we've heard, he probably did, but I don't know. The whole thing was a little strange.
I think there's a good shot he did it. Okay.
Yeah.
But there's an element in which I go, well, you know, I mean, let's face it. You know, why is it that a bunch of detectives and a bunch of prosecutors would try and fix a trial for, you know, fix a trial that where you feel the person is totally guilty? I mean, do you really need to fix it? Do you need to?
Yeah, that's enough to raise doubt, I think.
Well, that they had doubt that they could get him convicted, so they made sure that they had all the stuff, you know. Guy had the blood in his car or something overnight. I remember that, you know, one thing and another. So, I mean, I'm probably, now that he's dead, I can say probably he was guilty, but I don't know. God, we spent a lot of time together on important dates, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yeah. We did a show, I think, right after the World Trade Center thing. Or was I working with you guys then? I guess I was.
'01, I think. No, I think that was, those days were over at Live 105.
9/11? 2000, yeah, 2002, something like that. Was it 2001, 2002?
2001.
Yeah. You remember dates better than I do.
Yeah.
Yeah, so we weren't. But I do remember that I was out of work and I was at home and I'm sleeping and I get a call and it's Shecky. And he says, have you been watching what's going on? And I said, no, what? I said, because you just woke me up. He said, turn on the television.
Yeah, that's all you need to do.
I turned on the television. I said, my God, that's the World Trade Center. It's on fire. He says, yeah, a plane crashed into it. I said, do you think it was on purpose? And as I said that, the second plane hit. And we then both were silent for a moment, and I went, I guess this isn't just coincidence, you know. Because the first one that hit, everybody figured, oh, it's a terrible accident. The pilot was out of range and whatever. But when the second one hit, he said, this is an attack, you know. And I said, geez. So that was one of my events with Shecky. I mean, I have a lot of those, you know. But he thought to call me. He said, you know, Bennett should know what's going on. And it was like about 9 o'clock my time, 8 o'clock?
It was early, like 7 or 8 our time, yeah. Mm-hmm. And, yeah. God, I miss, you know, I didn't even know him, and I miss Shecky.
A lot of people who never knew him or only, like, saw him on my show because he did the Monday show every week, or the people who were on that Monday show were talking to him via Zoom. Miss him. You know, there was something very emblematic about the guy. Is that the right term? Did I just use the right term?
He died too young.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, I mean, when he told me that he had just made a will and then how much he was going to give me, I said to him, well, that's very nice, Shecky, and I certainly appreciate it that you thought of me. But let's be honest about it. And I said, I'm like, 80 years old, 81 years old. I can't remember. How old was I at the time? 80, 82 maybe. And I said, you know, luckily and hopefully I'll never live to see the money. Okay? Because I'm that much, that old and you're that much younger. And 2 months later, he was dead.
Wow.
Yeah, so he knew something.
He must have known, yeah.
He knew something, yeah. Something he wasn't going to tell me, he wasn't going to tell his friends. I mean, I've talked to people who were, one person who was closer to him than I was, okay? And that was a woman who worked as the assistant director on the Letterman show, and they were very close. And she, in fact, was kind of taking care of him towards the end, getting him doctor's appointments and so on. You know, he told me once, the doctor said, I have cirrhosis, but if I stop drinking, it won't get any worse. I said, so what have you done? He says, I've stopped drinking, rather, smoking. Stop drinking. I've stopped drinking. And he maintained to the end he had stopped drinking. But then when he died and she was made the executor of his will, she went to his place to clean up, right? To kind of clean up the place and take note of what's there, not there, and what needs to be wherever. And she says she went to the garbage can, and there were all these empty vodka bottles.
Wow, like Lost Weekend.
And then I think she was balancing his credit cards, or she found a accounting of his credit cards, and a lot of the charges were to liquor stores. So, I mean, he got the advice, you know, stop drinking. It's going to kill you, you know, because you got cirrhosis. See, cirrhosis, I understand. If they tell you you have it and you're not dead from it yet and you stop drinking, it doesn't progress.
I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, it doesn't progress. And that's what they told him. Stop drinking and you'll live a long life, even with a kind of screwed up liver. So that was what, you know, but I mean, he never told me, hey, I'm sick, you know, and it was also at a time, it was kind of right after, COVID. Okay. And I hadn't been out to see him because problem was, as you know, that, you know, no one wanted to take a subway. And, so I was just always talking to him on the phone. So I hadn't seen him for many, many, many months, and I finally got out there. And that was shortly before he died. So I got to see him one last time. She lived closer to him, so she saw him constantly, and when he started kind of getting ill, she took him to a doctor. But she said she didn't know how ill he was, you know, and she was around him a lot. He just, total not telling anybody, you know. But he went out and got that will done. I'd been bugging him to do a will for years, okay? Did you do the will? No. Well, you know, you got, because he had so much money at that point that I said, you know, you don't want that money going to the state.
To the state,
or,
no.
You know, whatever. You got to get a will. So when he called me up and says, guess what I did today? I went out and I made up a will. He said, and you're in it for so much. If I had a level of people, the woman he knew got more than I did. Then I got less than she did, but still a sufficient amount. And then there were a bunch of lesser people. So we were the top people on that totem pole. And she deserved it. Every penny of it, because towards the end of his life, she was taking him to doctor's appointments and so on and so forth. And I should have known there was something wrong. He kind of walked funny, you know. I kind of walked that way, too, but I know why I walked that way. But he was just looking very, it was weird, you know. But I guess I didn't want to take notice of it, you know, because if I did take full notice of it, I would then admit to myself that there was something terribly wrong and he wasn't going to be around much longer. So I never allowed myself that. Boy.
Very sad. Well, Norm MacDonald apparently knew he was dying for 10 years and only told one person. Nobody knew.
Really?
Yeah. Told his manager. That was the only guy.
And he had something that was long term. I mean, it went on for like
yeah,
10
or some
years.
Kind of leukemia or something. But yeah, like around 10 years, he knew. So,
well, I have leukemia.
Yeah, but there's some different kind. You've got the kind that's not fatal.
I love it when they tell you you've got leukemia, but don't
got the
worry,
good.
You've got the good leukemia. Wait a
you've
minute,
you've got the good cancer.
I don't think there's a good cancer. Okay,
no.
There's either cancer or no cancer. And if I've got a cancer that's more curable. Okay, fine. Well, they can't. What is that sound I get? This is like my computer is making noises. Anyway, you didn't hear that though, right?
I hear nothing. No.
Wow, that's strange. Well, anyway, so it was it's you know what I have is the good leukemia. I'm going to another appointment next Monday where they take my blood again. Dr. Dracula, I call him. And they take a bunch of blood, and then I sit there watching on my watch as the blood tests come in. Yeah. And you just hope that everything's okay, you know.
Yeah.
And they check me to make sure that I haven't had any real signs of the problem. I have some little bruises here that I've gotten that I worry about because that is one of the signs, but it's not a major sign. You know, I don't have things like night sweats or anything like that or any of the real signs of that it's time to give you the pills, you know. And my blood tests come back okay, so. And he checks me every 4 months, 5 months, maybe it'll be 6 months this time. And they just check to make sure that it hasn't progressed. And if it progresses, he said, all we do is give you one little pill to take every day, and you're good to go. You know?
Okay.
So he said, you're not going to die from it. You're going to die with it. You know, that's what they say.
Yeah.
So I go, okay, fine. I'll accept that. You know, I've got the good leukemia. Yeah.
Well, you're the only person I think I ever know that got a sizable amount of money from a will.
You know something? I'm the only person I know that's gotten a sizable amount of money from a will who wasn't a direct relative. You know? I've known people who are relatives of somebody, like their father died and left them $1 million or what. I don't even know those, if you want my opinion. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't think of anyone, sure.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, no, you're right. You're right. But anyway, you know, that's the way it goes, and it's...
Well, the nice thing about that, I think most of that money, up to a certain amount, is tax-free.
It is all tax-free.
Yeah.
Because the taxes have already been paid on the money. So when you get the check, there are no taxes on that. So it really is a nice amount of money. If they took the taxes out, it would be, you know, at least two-thirds.
You'd lose a third, at least a third, yeah.
Yeah, at least a third. But so there are no taxes at all. So you can hope that somebody, you know, dies, you know. By the way, I'm not leaving anything to you. But anyway. You know.
Yeah, I don't think anyone's going to leave money to me. Christ.
Well, yeah. Maybe I'll talk to Marjorie, see if we can put you in the will. You know, we're trying to figure out where, you know, we figure we're not going to be able to spend it all in our lifetime, you know, because there's also money coming in, like, you know, Social Security and some of my AFTRA,
pension?
Royalties, you know.
Royalties, okay.
Well, stuff from, you know, a pension fund. Yeah, the pension fund. So, you know, because that money's coming in, not as much of the money we got is going out. You know, so, and then we put that into stocks, and we have a good stock guy who's doing it for us, and we've actually made a lot of money off that money.
Really? Jeez.
Yeah, so, you know, not a giant amount, but enough. You know, that you're sitting there going, you know, I'm really never going to get rid of all of this. So we're going to go make a new will and figure out where to leave it, you know. We were thinking of, I'll tell you what we were thinking of. I have always been very impressed by St. Jude's Hospital. And the reason I have is they run all these ads on TV, and it's not with pathetic kids, you know. It's with parents who are maybe crying or going, thank you, St. Jude's Hospital. But the kids are always very positive. Mm-hmm. And I hate these spots where they've got kids, oh, hey, look at me. I only have one arm, but look how I can swim. You know, you had circles, you know. So that always bothered me. So I figured they're pretty good. You know, they're terrific. So I took it. I sent them $100 just to see what happens, right? All of a sudden, man, they're sending me emails every day with kids on it saying, hey, I'm feeling better now, you know. And I'm going, oh, my God. You know, and then they call me. They call me on my phone. And this has been going on for 2 months. It's just because I sent them $100. They should say, thank you for the $100, and now we're going to shut up, you know. But they don't. And so I've decided I don't want to give it. I don't want to give it to St.
That's why it's hard to give money to charities, because then they sell your information to everybody else, and you get hounded by everybody.
Yeah, yeah. So, you know, I sent them $100 because I just wanted to see what would happen, and also because I wanted to just feel good about something.
Yeah.
You know, I had the money. I'll send them $100.
No good deed goes unpunished.
I am today. I got an email from them, and I got a text. I get texts from them. You know, so it's not that's not where it's going. Okay.
Yeah. So, isn't that the Danny Thomas one?
So maybe we should put you in there.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I'll make an ad.
You'll make a what?
An ad, say, send money to St. Bub.
St. Bub, yeah, exactly. So, I don't know. You know, it's a matter of where do you leave all your money, too, at a certain point. You know, so. Before, we didn't care.
What do you think really rich people must have to think about that when they that have tens of millions of dollars, where they're going to leave it?
Well, usually most of them will do it to charity. I mean, first they'll be family, but we don't have family, okay? And then secondarily, it would be probably charitable contributions, you know, or give it to a museum or give it to, you know, something you believe in, you know, so. But, again, St. Bub's is a wonderful charity.
For broken down comedians.
For broken down comedians. You know, where can I give my money to help comics? What, is there something?
They should have something for comics, right? They have them for actors.
Well, for years with comics, I've argued that what you guys need more than anything else is health care plans. You know?
They tried to, I remember in the 80s, they tried to unionize comics for that, to get health plans and stuff, but it didn't last very long.
Well, because they didn't want to pay the dues. They were thinking in the short term. Okay.
Yeah.
In the long term, yeah, you get your union, hopefully, will pay for your what do you call it?
You got to get a medical pension and health care, yeah.
Health care, yeah. As SAG-AFTRA screwed us out of our health care, you know.
That's what I've heard, yeah. It was terrible. They used to be great, then they took it all away, right?
Yeah, and then they wrote me and they said, well, they settled. I went, okay, how much do I get? $300. What? Well, that'll take care of 1 month's health plan, you know. I mean, it was terrible. And the health plan we had before, we paid them $2,000 a year. And they took care of everything of the other 20% that, you know, that Medicare doesn't take care of. But, I mean, it was just, it was horrible what they did to us. And who was the president of our union? Oh, yeah, Fran Drescher.
She was? Wow.
She is. She is currently and was when they did this whole thing with the health plans. Yeah, I got screwed by the nanny. Of course, years ago, my mother used to work for AGVA, the American Guild of Variety Artists. She was the secretary in their office in San Francisco. And okay. I got to know the guy who ran the union there. And he said, yeah, you know something? How would you like to be part of a union where your president is an out-of-work magician.
It's hilarious.
So that was his joke, you know. But, you know, how would you like your union to be, the president of your union to be an out-of-work prop act? Oh, God. Hey, we've run out of time. Where does the time go when we're talking with each other?
It flies when you're collecting money.
Yeah, we're collecting money, yeah. Bub's working anywhere you want us to know?
Nah. Nothing big, no. Yeah. Semi-retired.
Semi-retired. Well, yeah. Don't retire because you're one of the funniest guys out there. No question about it.
I'll do a few more.
Ladies and gentlemen, Larry Bubbles Brown. Thank you, Lawrence.
Bye. Thanks, Alex.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Sagabnet, la grande broadcastmeuse Orcan, Ricain. Parlez radio comme vous n'en avez jamais entendu.
Yeah, okay. There was Larry Bubbles Brown, ladies and gentlemen. Actually, I ran the wrong one this week. I should run the... Wait a minute, do I have one more? I think I have one more to do with them. I don't know. I'll figure it out later. Anyway, how are you? What's happening? What's new? Getting along, singing a song side by side. And we have a bunch of people waiting to come on here. I have nothing particularly to talk about. I wish I had something to talk about, to be honest with you, but I don't. Let's see, I got my earphones on tonight, but maybe I'll be able to hear people without them. Let me see here. First of all, let's bring them all in, okay? And how do I do that? Okay. Earlier today I was doing Snyder. And after I was doing Snyder, I had to, like, post the show and get the show together and all of that, you know, and put it up. And I couldn't remember how to do it. Well, it was also because Snyder wouldn't shut up while I was trying to do it. But I'm getting to the point where the little simple things that I do, I have to really think twice about doing. So if I screw up with our posting of shows and things like that, hey, come on, I'm an old man. What do you want from me anyway? Anyway, let me just bring these people in here. Let me see. Admit all. Okay, and here they come, folks. There they come. There they are. Okay, all right. Okay, I guess. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, I see what my problem is. I have to do a little work here. Hold on, because something went bad with me earlier today, and I was not same as I should be. So I, there we go. Now we're okay. Now we're going. There we are. All right. Hey, how are you, folks? How you doing?
Good. Good. Okay. Good. Yeah.
Good. Good. Okay. Okay. We're doing okay. Okay. Fine. Everybody sounds excited. Why am I doing the show if you're not excited? Come on.
We're excited.
You know,
excited.
I'm supposed to be excited all the time here, and I'm not, you know. Mm.
This is excited for somebody my age.
What do you mean somebody your age? You know, I think I have mild kidney disease, by the way.
Oh, wonderful.
I was just looking at my blood test. I think I have mild... Well, yeah, how old am I? I'm 85. I got to have something going bad with me, right? As long as it doesn't get worse. I'm going to drink lots of water. That's what I'm going to do. They say that's what you do for it. You drink lots of water.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not uncommon for some of you my age to have that kind of problem. Let's see. iPad Mini 7 BCF. Who the hell could this be? Well, let's hope it's not somebody trying to give us a bad time here. Let me see. There we go. There he
yeah,
is.
There
is. Oh, okay.
So, he was in the chat room.
So we know now that the iPad Mini is Brie out in Malaysia.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anyway, and where are you? Obviously, are you driving or are you being driven? Brie?
Being driven.
Being driven. Okay.
Yeah, I'm here. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if my mic is working. Yeah, so I got this new iPad Mini. It seems to be working better than the Samsung Tab A.
Yeah, they get they keep getting better and better and better, you know? So that's cool. And let me see. How are you tonight, Jeff? You fine?
Very good.
Very good. And Alan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Thank you.
And Josh, what's up?
How's it going?
How's it going? Oh, okay. It's going okay, you know. Can't complain. Well, I guess I could. Well, let's see here. We're getting a sightseeing tour here of downtown Malaysia. What town are you in there? What is that town?
Well, it's south of Kuala Lumpur, and I'm heading, I'm sort of southwest. I'm heading sort of northwest.
Oh, okay.
Well, north.
And where are you going?
I'm going to a place called Wan Utama, which is it's like a shopping complex, but there's a restaurant that I like there. So I'll have lunch there, and then there's a couple of gadget stores I'm going to visit.
Now, you don't have a car there, I guess, huh?
No, no. In fact, my driver's license from Dubai runs out this month.
Really?
So I won't have a driver's license in January. I've got to figure out how I'm going to do that.
Hmm. Well, you know, you can always use mine. I never use it. So,
yeah. Where's your car?
Hmm?
Where's you have a car?
I don't have a car, no. No. I've thought about getting one, but then I go, why? You know? I mean,
yeah.
How often am I going to use it? I mean, I haven't outside of taking, you know, trips on airplanes places, I haven't left Manhattan for 15 years. Right?
I think it would be more efficient if we, like, imagine there are these buses, I've seen them in China, where they're automated, and mm-hmm. they have a certain route, so they stop at a certain place, then they, you know, they pick people up, they go. And if you could have that with, like, little pods that you order on your phone,
mm-hmm.
then they can link up. You know, AI can tell them which pod to link up with which, and they can go on long highways. Like, I just see a future where it's all automated, you know.
Right.
And nobody has to own a car.
Right. Okay. Anyway, how you doing tonight, Josh?
I'm doing pretty good.
Yeah? And Charlie, how you doing?
I'm doing great.
What does that say, database? What is this?
I keep my jokes in the database.
In a database. Oh, boy. Showing your age, huh?
You buy these shirts just for the show.
Oh, do you buy them just for the show? I never asked you that.
I buy them for life. This is my life. So
yeah. Yeah. They're a lot of them are scientific, and they're great little jokes, you know. They make a lot of sense. And of course, Josh, I don't know what he wears. He never shows anything above his neck, below his neck. I mean, what are you, in your pajamas? What's the story there?
I had a great sweatshirt called Armchair Philosopher.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice.
Yeah. Josh, what are you wearing when you're sitting there? What is that?
Wear various stuff. Mm-hmm. Today I've got a long sleeve shirt that I cut the sleeves off to 3/4 that I bought when I went to Devil's Tower in Wyoming.
Oh, okay. Cool. See, now that, if you showed that, that'd be cool to look at, you know.
And the way that my computer sets in my lap here.
Right.
You'd have to do that.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Well, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, right?
Yeah.
I've never seen it, but I heard that that's what opens the movie, yeah?
No, it doesn't open the movie. It pretty well closes the movie.
Something like that, okay.
Yeah, it's big part of the plot line. What were you going to say, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm curious. I haven't had a tremendous amount to read or looked at this guy who's now one in Pennsylvania who killed the guy in New York.
Oh, you mean Luigi, what's his name again?
Manicotti?
What? What's his
name?
Yeah.
And I'm just curious, how that system is and what's happening and where is he. And
what do you mean? Well, how's that system? He has refused, what do you call it? The,
extradition.
Extradition.
Yeah. And the reason they do that is because he wants the prosecutors to give the evidence that they have so that he can start planning the trial.
Oh, okay.
In advance.
So they have
that's
to
why
see
they
what in other words, the prosecutors in New York have to present the courts in where is it?
Pennsylvania.
Right next door to the McDonald's. What do you call it? Just the information, some information on why he should be extradited, in which case it kind of gives the kind of gives him an idea of what the case is going to be like or what. Does that make sense? Am I explaining it right, Josh?
Yeah, it sounds, yeah, about right. That's, I don't know, a trick or whatever you want to call it. It's a tactic maybe is better that sometimes is used.
Yeah, well, I mean, you don't want to be extradited till you have to be extradited, right?
Yeah, I don't know if that, what his perspective is, but I would assume it has something to do with that. And I guess he probably figures he doesn't have anything else better to do.
Yeah, and they're going to prevail. You know, they're going to get him up here.
I'm sure they'll get him to New York.
Family's got a lot of money, and
that's right.
You will have the dream team.
Yep, that's right.
Well, it depends on how much his parents want to defend him. You know, I mean, that's. I was thinking about this the other day.
It doesn't matter. Did you see how much money has been raised for him?
Right.
No, I didn't.
No, I haven't, but it's probably a lot.
At any amount he wants. Yeah. He is a folk hero to a large portion of the population will give him anything.
Yeah. Well,
there are some who...
Yeah.
Yeah, there are people who are willing to offer him alibis that are completely
fake. Yeah, <bad. laughs> I got your back.
Okay, if it does any good, I admit it, I did it. Okay? And all I had to do was take the subway home. You know? So, okay? All right?
The funny thing is he could have done that, too. He could have done the shooting, got on the subway, and went home in New York if he lived there.
Yeah.
He could have stayed there.
Well, I think, you know, I don't know that he didn't want to get caught because it's not what I would have done. If I had done what he did, I would have gotten out of the country, as soon as possible. Or I would have at least disappeared into America. But I would have gotten out of here as soon as possible. But he apparently, I think, there was something in him that was saying, I want to get caught. I want to make a big deal out of this, you know? So
they're making a big deal about that the police officers that handcuffed him and took him into custody are heroes. They're not heroes. The guy in the McDonald's, the worker that noticed him is the hero. The police just went and did their job.
All he had to do was make a phone call. So how's he a hero?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, because he recognized him. He could have gone on somewhere else or something.
Who's the only hero in this?
Well, I think the shooter is in this case.
We're
talking with the healthcare people, you know?
See, here's the thing. I mean, the amount of discussion that we're having now about healthcare and about every night, it's this about healthcare, that about healthcare. It started a dialogue, you know? If he spends the rest of his life in prison, he can do so knowing that he started a dialogue going. And the only thing that we can do is to try and take advantage of that dialogue and, do what we got to do.
I agree with you.
He should ask for a speedy trial, and Trump will exonerate him.
No, he won't.
He won't.
He won't. I mean... Come on.
He doesn't like New York.
No, Trump's in the pocket of the industry. He cares about those companies, you know. Otherwise, you know, why don't we have universal health care in this country? It makes no sense. It just speaks to how terrible we are. You know,
every other country, like first world country, has
right. So, I mean, what's the problem here? The problem is we're just not good people. We don't like to help each other.
Well, the problem is our government's for sale.
That too. Especially now.
Yep.
You know. So, what do you want to buy? If you had enough money, Charlie, what would you buy?
The president.
If I had enough money? What would I buy? I don't know. I'd probably buy a bunch of radio stations and put on a lot of left-wing people.
I'm trying to come to terms with all these different companies like Facebook, like Google, like who are some of the others that are paying money for the inaugural.
Yeah.
To begin with, I don't think you. Doesn't the government pay for the inaugural?
Maybe. Well, I mean, just the actual inauguration ceremony, but I mean, they're talking about all the balls and dances and stuff that they have. It's like probably 15 different parties.
Zuckerberg gave him money, gave him $1 million, I think.
Zuckerberg pissed him off, so now he's trying to make good.
Oh, he went down to Mar-a-Lago and kissed his ass.
Absolutely. Probably literally.
And he loves people kissing his ass, so, you know. And who else was it? They said a lot of people have suddenly decided to give him money.
Yeah.
And why? Did they give it to Biden, too, for his inaugural?
I don't think so.
Not as much. They probably gave something. You know, what they do, they all give money to everybody who's running because they want to hedge their bets, you know. But at this point, I mean, I'm just not going to put – I'm probably going to – I may get rid of Facebook. I actually may do that because –
Why don't you give Trump some money so you can feel good?
So I can feel good?
Sure. That's what you were talking about with Bubbles. So.
Oh, yeah. Well,
what's that, a smoke detector on the wall there, Bree?
No, that's the dome light in the
– Oh.
Yeah, we're getting a picture of a Malaysian dome light.
Wow, isn't that cool?
Yes. There he goes. Anyway, but it's, you know, I mean, it's amazing how many of these companies are kissing his butt at this point because they're afraid, you know. It seems like, I think it was NBC is thinking about... what do you call it? Siphoning off, or what's the word they use for it? MSNBC as its own separate company because they're afraid that Trump is going to come after them.
Yeah.
I mean, you're really that afraid of Trump? You know? I mean, why are you that afraid of Donald Trump?
He's a monster.
Well, I mean, come on. Let's say you're Facebook, and you've been saying nasty things about him, which he has, you know, which Zuckerberg has been saying all over time. Suppose he decides to come after you. Come on. How much money do you have to defend yourself and to prevent that from happening, to have the guts to stand up to this bully? You know, but you don't. So why should I be part of Facebook? Do I really want to be part of Facebook? I don't know. I haven't decided yet. Because
how we find out that you're not on Wednesday night on Facebook.
Yeah. That's the way. But I could steer you all over to what's the new one now? I got rid of X. I took X off my browser, and I just put on
Blue Sky.
Yeah. Blue Sky, which is the new, the new deal, right? How many people do they have? I wonder.
Yeah, I'm on there too.
Yeah. I just
what's your?
I'm Alex at Alex2100 at whatever it is. bsky.bsky.com.
I'll look for you later. I don't know what.
Blue Sky is a porn page, right?
What?
Blue Sky is a porn page, isn't
it? No, it isn't. No.
I figured Alex was doing porn now. Oh, okay. What is it? It take him to place the X?
It's like X and like all the others, you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, but it's just for people who don't want to have anything to do with Twitter anymore. And I don't want to have anything to do with it. So I just, in fact, I'm going to take off my Twitter account altogether. You know, so I'll go with, you know, I'll try it and see what happens, see what the people are saying on it.
Boy, lunchtime traffic is bad in Malaysia.
Doesn't look that terrible.
I guess not compared to New York, but, you know.
Well, let's just all enjoy the ride, okay?
Yeah, really. I mean, this is a long drive just to go get lunch.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you know him. He's going to lunch as a video opportunity to talk to us.
You write it off.
That's right.
Yeah.
Charge it to the credit card.
Yeah. So, Josh.
I had a.
Josh is has a new job, right? I don't think I'm wrong in saying that. And so he is back with us now on at least Friday nights. And we saw him last night, too. So that's good, you know. And how's the new job doing for you? Good?
So far, yeah.
Yeah?
Yep.
Yeah. Okay, that's fine.
So far.
Let me see here. I was looking at the finalists for Time's Man of the Year. And the finalists were like, Biden wasn't even one of the finalists. I'm trying to remember who they had. They had, I can't remember anything anymore anyway. Forget it.
I don't think Kamala was either.
No, Kamala was there. Yeah, I think she
was.
No, she wasn't one of the finalists. You know.
Mm-hmm.
One of the finalists early on was, what's his name? The guy does the podcast, Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
Why? Why?
It'll be Mr. Beast.
Hmm?
Mr. Beast.
Yeah. I don't understand, you know. I don't understand why Joe Rogan is even looked at with any great respect.
Yeah, I mean, he isn't.
To me, he was the host of, what was it, that game show where everybody tried to kill themselves?
Fear Factor.
Yeah. And he didn't do very well in television, so he went to the internet, and somehow he became well-known, I guess, through self-promotion, and got himself a $1 million-a-year deal from Spotify. And now they consider him important and a tastemaker. I don't get it. You know, I just don't get it.
So, I don't like him.
I don't like him either. But then again,
my philosophy on it is that certain things have to move in to fill spaces. So when there's new technology, new spaces, and people go in there, eventually somebody has to be something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what analogy I'd look for, but it's just how it goes, you know.
Yeah.
It's like when you're in the radio market and the morning show retires, somebody else has to come in there. And you never know what, you know, environment circumstances will come around. So it's just how it is. So over time, everything is a lot about timing. And I think for Joe Rogan, it was totally about timing.
Well, for a while there, Mark Maron was a big deal, you know. And I heard that, Mark Maron got the job in a movie playing that guy, what was his name, who got shot, the talk show host? I'm trying to remember his name now. But he's playing that guy in a movie, and I told Snyder, while he was reviewing it, you know, the terrible part about Mark Maron doing that part is they didn't use real bullets. That's how I feel about podcasts. Anyway, so anyway, I'm trying to think. What's the news? Anything happening at all? I was looking at the news today, and what were they talking about? nothing much, you know. Big fires out in California.
I don't see the news very often. I wouldn't even know that.
Yeah. I'm trying to remember what the other big story
is. It's raining in California.
What they did talk about was that there was some situation in which there were a couple of situations. One was a situation where United Healthcare is not covering babies anymore, or a bunch of babies, like about 200,000 of them, children.
Wow.
Yeah. With some lame excuse. I don't know. And the other story was there was this woman who's a military woman, and she got sick. And what she got is she was pregnant, and then she got this terrible infection and so on, and they started to abort the baby, and they wouldn't do anything for her because they were afraid that it would amount to abortion. And she almost died as a result of it because she was in the military and they had an insurance policy run by the government that didn't accept abortion. And the kid had to be aborted. It was going to be born dead anyway. And she almost died as a result of it.
Well, we've had women actually die in situations like that in Texas.
Yeah, yeah. I think this woman may have been in Texas, actually. No, she was in California, I think.
But you're looking for news, huh?
Huh?
So you're looking for news. Kennedy asked the FDA today to revoke its approval of the polio vaccine.
Yeah, but you know who we ran into conflict with? Mitch McConnell, who as a kid had polio.
Yeah.
Mitch McConnell, after this term, is not going to be much of anything.
Yeah, but still, I mean,
what's the case in America Samoa with JFK Jr.?
Yeah.
RFK Jr. Are you familiar with that case? Charlie, you know it?
I don't know a lot about it, but I know that he talked them into not doing vaccinations, and all of a sudden kids were getting polio and smallpox and all that stuff, and it was pretty brutal there in Samoa.
Oh, really? They do it because RFK Jr. said?
Yeah.
He went there and waged a campaign to convince people not to get vaccinated.
Oh, God, that's stupid. You know, it was a beautiful answer to the problem. Okay, the story that we heard was that polio was the one disease we had in this world that was completely wiped out. You know.
Yep.
And it was completely wiped out, I think, over the entire face of the earth, except in some countries that were too far along that they didn't, you know, they weren't
too remote.
Too remote.
Yeah.
But we literally got rid of polio. What do you want to do? Bring it back? What are you, nostalgic? You know, this is ridiculous.
Yes, I guess Tim Cook is having dinner with Trump tonight, the CEO of Apple. They're all just lining up to kiss his ass.
Well, I'll wipe my ass with this.
I hear you. A bunch of us have one of those. So.
Tim Cook.
Yep. Here, it's in the news on CNN.
Yeah.
I just remember this kid in second grade that had those braces on his legs and could hardly get around, hobbling around.
Let's go back to that. When I was a kid growing up, every parent lived in fear.
I remember that.
To begin with, it was kind of a summer disease. It flared up more during the summer than it did at any other time of the year. And every summer, parents would not let their kids go to swimming pools. They didn't know how you got it, okay? And I think to this day they don't really know how you got it, but they were worried that their kids would get it going into a swimming pool that it had something to do with water. And my parents, like any other parents, were very protective, and they lived in dire fear that their kid would get polio. And I lived in dire fear that I would, too, you know. But then all of a sudden we heard about this guy named Jonas Salk, who came up with this little cure, and it was a vaccine.
In Pittsburgh.
Yeah. But then shortly after that, a guy by the name of Sabin came along, and he came along with the vaccine for polio that you simply put on a sugar cube, and the kids could suck on the sugar cube, and they were immune.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the real game changer, because kids don't like to get shots, right?
That's right.
So my mother, I remember, took me down to the local high school, took me down to Sir Francis Drake High School in San Anselmo. And we went down, and they had a sugar cube. And I remember it had like a purple dot in the middle of it.
And how many of them did you eat?
All you had to do was do one. I
remember doing it too as a kid.
Yeah. And you just did one, and that was it. And that wiped it out. Wiped it out completely. So RFK, you can blow me. I mean, come on. What kind of, he didn't grow up at a time when you feared polio. That's the problem. Because if he did, like Mitch McConnell, you would be against his thinking, you know?
He can't be that young.
Well, he's
70, I think.
Huh?
70. I think RFK Jr. is 70.
Yes, but I don't think he's old enough to remember. Yeah. This is like all sideways now. Richard?
Yeah,
do that. No. Okay, there you go. Looks like you're in a sauna, Richard.
Yeah. I just got up to the treadmill, and I wanted to join.
Okay. Are you in a sauna?
Yes, at home.
At home? Oh, you have a sauna in your home. Hot, big deal.
Yes, I am. It's so hot, I got to take the glasses off, too.
Oh, you're actually in the heated sauna?
Yeah.
And the phone will take the heat in the sauna?
Lower down, it's cooler.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Well, if I get cut off, you'll know why.
Yeah.
But I watch you in here. So.
But anyways, I was saying, I think he's still too young to he's too young to remember the real fear of polio. Okay? He got past the point where polio was even anything, and your parents just gave you a vaccine at a certain age, and you were good to go, or you sucked on the sugar cube.
I don't understand about these anti-vax people. I mean, people have a right to believe in whatever they want, but billions, not millions, billions of lives have been saved and suffering and stuff around the world because of vaccines.
What song was written because of the sugar cube vaccine?
Oh my God!
I got this yesterday.
Sugar helps the medicine go down.
You're absolutely right.
Yeah. Oh, I was just making fun because that's the Mary Poppins.
One of the Sherman brothers, I believe it was, their kid had to go get a Sabin vaccine, and they told the kid to, you know, a spoonful of sugar make the medicine go down, and he went, "Hey, there's a song."
And so that, Mary Poppins, that's where I saw it.
Yeah.
Good job, Charlie.
I was just a guest. I love Mary Poppins. I've watched it about 12 times.
It's a great, great, great movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, polio had flared up in Gaza. It was mostly, I think, because of the bad hygiene, you know, conditions out there.
Yeah.
And they had to surge the vaccine to the populace that's there.
Right.
That tells you something about, you know, we live now in, you know, pretty fair conditions here in America, and so that's one reason why polio won't flare up all of a sudden just because it stopped. But
there was a book that I bought that I've got in the other room that I read that's fascinating on the history of polio, and I've told this story before. But do you know why polio existed in the first place. They found out, this is their theory, is that because we became a very clean society, and all those diseases which you would not get because you were exposed to them, like with, you know, horse manure lining the streets and things like that, we had a very, very bad sanitary conditions in this country up until about, I'd say, the 20s or early 30s, and that's when polio in the 40s started to show up, because what had happened is the kids weren't getting the natural immunity to all these other diseases and so on. And one of the diseases they weren't getting a natural immunity to was polio. And that's why it was called infantile paralysis, because kids basically got it.
Yeah.
And natural immunity is dangerous. You know, they talked about people during COVID not getting the vaccine and just going out and getting the actual disease, and then they get, you know. And
you want the
vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, natural. I don't know. I remember that too as the nice chest, by the way. I remember that, you know, as a kid, that talking about, you know, kids are not getting enough dirt in their hands and on their system.
Yeah.
And so, I hate you, Bree. All that food looks good.
Yeah, I'll take the picture on the left, okay?
Asshole.
Is there any way you can buy one of those things, somehow put it on FedEx and get it to me?
I think that's a chicken breast.
No, that looks like a little... like a piece of meat or something.
Well, a chicken would be meat.
Could be. That's a pork ribeye. That's what
it is. Oh, yeah, it does say that right there.
Yeah, right there. Yeah.
But you just weren't able to read it because it's in Malaysian.
Right.
yeah, what are you going to get? To get the pork ribeye, Bree?
That's why he's pointing that, yep.
Hmm.
Get it cooked. Let's see the rest. Rare, medium rare, really good that way.
Yeah, but anyway, so. It's funny, it's strange. If I went on here and I told you, don't get vaccinated, I would get, and maybe I will anyway at this point, a ding YouTube. I get a ding from YouTube. And because I said that, probably the algorithms will hear that and say, oh, he said, don't get vaccines. Yes, get vaccines, get vaccines, get vaccines. But anyway, if RFK Jr. put that on YouTube, they wouldn't ding him on it. They wouldn't yell at him for it. No.
Bree doesn't have to send you that. They have roasted spring chicken here in New York, too.
Here in New York? You're not in New York.
I know. Here in California. You wanted them to mail it to you.
Well, I'm saying that if FedEx it to me and get it to me
before it goes bad,
you know. And look at Richard. He's stretching. He's doing some exercise.
I'm trying to work some yoga into it. Hey, last night you were talking about Yiddish. Yes, it's German and Hebrew and some other languages as well. They mixed in. But you were, and Shonda is a shame. And what was your point about Schumer being a Shonda for the Goyim?
Well, I was just making a joke. He was a Shonda for the Goyim.
But is he a Shonda for the Jews too, or for some reason?
I got a thing from him today. I never saw a piece of literature sent out as a mass mailing on YouTube, on the internet.
Somebody that
was so trying to keep everybody happy. He said, we must work to save Israel and also the people in Gaza. What? You know, I mean, he was like, and the people in Gaza, and we also, and all other oppressed people, and whatever. Are you hedging your bets there, Chuck?
Oh, sure.
I mean, come on.
Oh, sure. There's
a lot of schmuck.
There's a lot of Arabs in New York.
Yeah. I mean, yep. It's like he was like hedging his bets on everything. It wasn't like, because I know he's been very pro-Israel, you know, because he's Jewish and he thinks he has to be, and that doesn't mean you have to be, you know. Israel is not, how can I put it? They like to make you think it's the Jewish state, but there ain't no such thing, okay? It may be a country with a bunch of Jews living in it, which is where I don't want to live. But, you know, I mean, the fact that I'm not pro-Israel doesn't make me any less of a Jew. And I don't like any country having a tank where on the tank is the Star of David, which is the representation of my religion. And that upsets me. It really upsets me. Because
it would be like putting crosses on all of our U.S. tanks.
Exactly. You know, and I'm sure there'd be a lot of Christians who would argue that, you know. So I never liked the idea that I was, you know, I'm supposed to believe in Israel because I'm Jewish. You know, it has to earn my respect like any other country. Yes, Richard.
Ukraine and Israel are doing our work in diminishing Russia on one hand, and the Arab, like Iran's proxies, Hezbollah, Hamas, and they knocked out the chemical factory in Syria about a month or 2 months ago, and now they knocked out a lot of the army's capability. The Syrian army's capability, and Iran is retrenching under a new president. So Iran could be at a moment that, you know, to sort of come back to the nuclear deal and stop funding the terrorism that they're doing, well, because of a lot of what Israel's pressure is doing.
You know, the reason why Assad left town, basically, was because Russia wasn't sending him money anymore, and Iran wasn't sending him money anymore. I mean, they all had their own little things they had to deal with.
And so
Assad had to just give up. I mean, it was I didn't ever think he would give up that fast.
No.
But he just...
That was a complete shock to me.
You know, it was at 1 o'clock, he was still the head of Syria, and by 3 o'clock, he had wound up in the Soviet Union, Russia, rather. It's not the Soviet Union anymore. But anyway, I mean...
Always seemed like a matter of time to me.
Yes, but... Because
he's only the son of the last president dictator, so...
And that was like 50 years ago? 60 mm-hmm. years ago, something like that? Yeah.
When that started.
So anyway, it was quite a, you know, it was quite a shock how fast he left. The new guy who was heading up the country used to be the head of like ISIS or something. The United States had a $10 million bounty on his head.
Still does.
Yeah. They're thinking of getting rid of it because he said this is going to be a free country and everybody here has a right to be here, whether they're Jewish or whether they're Islamic. We're embracing all of them. And they said, what happened to you? And he said, I got older. I grew up. I changed.
Hear Friday. I mean, next week he's going to be having dinner with Trump.
Yeah, right. No, but I mean, basically, he said, you know, that's how I was then, and this is how I am now, you know? And if he lives up to what he's saying right now, he could turn out to be a wonderful ally for the United States, and it could be a wonderful trading partner with the United States, but undoubtedly, we're going to fuck that up, you know?
Well, look who's in charge here now.
We're going to screw that up big time.
Another thing, if they can pacify the people that are there in Syria, then a lot of the Syrians in Europe will come back. There's a lot of pressure on the governments and the populations in Europe because of the Syrian refugees there. I was in Paris, and there, there it's outstanding how many are living in tents, and so it's a lot of pressure, and that will come, that could come off.
Yeah,
and it would revitalize
the
country.
Well, a lot of people can go back to the home they love. You know, yeah. I'm sure Syrians who are living outside of Syria because they had to run out of the country for their family and for themselves really are pretty glad this has happened.
Some will stay, and the diaspora will help them have a foothold, when just like Jews had a diaspora, and over the thousands of years, and they could trade. They had some people there in different countries who understood.
You know, they always made a big deal out of the diaspora being a terrible thing when you talked about Jews. But my father, ex-father-in-law, is long gone, was a member of the Jewish Socialist Bund. And they believed in the diaspora. They felt that it was the one way to survive. Not to put all your Jews in one place like we had done. But we made the same mistake again with Israel. We put all the Jews in one place, one basket, so to speak. And they believed in the diaspora because they felt that what you had to take with you was your culture and your literature. And that's the essence of who you are. And so wherever you are in the world, as long as you have that as a basis, you're fine. And so that's the history of what we're talking about there. Yeah.
If your bananas are $2.19 for £3, it's only 70 cents a pound. It doesn't sound that bad. 10 years ago, I used to buy a single banana down on Wall Street for 25 cents. So.
Really? Yeah. Yeah. We were talking last night with
Tony,
who said he saw bananas for $1.79, and I said, I'm looking them at a Costco for $2, and that, still for, you know, like five bananas, that's kind of cheap. You know, it's no big deal. And so I got about
nine for $1.49 here in Virginia, and that was not the organic. The organic was $1.99 for the 3 pounds. So I passed.
Is organic a ripoff?
I don't think so. I think they're qualitatively different.
Really?
It seems to me.
Because I buy two of them, both of them side by side, and they rot just as fast, you know.
Yeah, I let my wife have the organics.
I think health-wise, I think, you know, when it comes to, like, animals, chickens or whatever, they don't give them antibiotics and hormones or something like that. So they're more of a natural, pure critter. I don't know.
Think they do to them whatever they do to bananas anyway. I was talking about them being gassed last night. They gas bananas.
Well, they gas bananas to kill the spiders.
They gas bananas to have them ripen faster when they get them to the grocery stores. They go into the grocery stores, they're green as hell, and they hit them with a gas. And then they
Dole's YouTube says that they harvest them green so that just as they hit the market, they'll be turning yellow.
Yeah. But the fact is they use a gas to do it.
But I'm telling you, those people work hard who harvest them. They only have some mechanics that help them bring it from the field, but cutting them and
well,
do you think your bananas
are expensive now? Wait until the tariffs go into place.
Yeah.
Supposedly, the thing's going to be hit the hardest, up about 90% in price, are avocados.
Yeah.
You know. Yes,
you know,
Alan.
Something. You learned something on your show. You are right, according to AI, according to Google. I always heard that it was to kill spiders. It's done with ethylene in a nitrogen mix.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I always thought it was a pesticide that killed spiders.
And what do they say it's done for?
Just what you said, to ensure the desired yellow color and have the correct texture and flavor when it gets to the supermarket.
That's right. It's all how it looks when it gets
to
the supermarket.
You can learn something from
You can learn something from this dumb old man. Yeah.
I always get a few green bananas because, you know, I want it to last all week. If you get all yellow bananas, then 2 or 3 days later, brown.
You want to get them green.
Yeah.
You know, also, what they don't, what doesn't sell well is bruised fruit. Yeah. Like if an orange has a little bit of something because it's been bruised, people don't buy it. And actually, once you peel it, it's not a problem. Right. But they in grocery stores, they throw that stuff out. So, you know, if they put it in a bin where you can get it, go get it, you know. Josh, anything here we've been talking about that appealed to you at all in any way? I like to bring him kicking and screaming into the discussion.
Well, I mean, the thing with the polio vaccine, I mean, I think you've got to pass it on correctly. I mean, Robert Kennedy Jr. did not ask to have the polio vaccine suspended. A lawyer that works for him petitioned to have it suspended 2 years ago. And I believe there's some rumor that he may want to bring this person in as a deputy of his if he were confirmed. Yeah,
I just read the headline. So, sorry.
I mean, it's not really correct, but, you know, that's the problem is that that's what the news is, the media is doing. Again, they take anything that has anything to do with that and they're turning talkathon for hours at a time on every little thing, and all this is really going to do is continue to push people to say, you know, oh, see, Trump is right. They just do all this stuff against him. And I mean, the way they're reporting it and going crazy about every little tiny thing that gets said or was ever said or might be said, it's just. They haven't learned any lessons, if you ask me. They need to report on what's happening and then let the people, you know, digest it and react to it when it starts to actually affect their life, or just give them the information, you know, and let them go from there. I mean, I don't know where it came from because I didn't have time to listen to it, but there is some news, you know, this evening that says the Trump administration, incoming administration, I don't know who, you know, something about, you know, one of the government agencies they want to eliminate is, you know, the FDIC. Okay. Mm-hmm. Which is a totally nonsense idea. Okay. That's the people that insure your money that's in the bank.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, they don't need to talk about it in circles for weeks and weeks and hypotheticals about what could happen if he tells someone to shut it down and that's illegal. Well, just let people hear that and then think about it, and then let average people who have an income like I do and my wife and everybody else be like, man, you know, my money's in this bank in this county that we live in with like 30,000 people living here. You know, that bank could probably close any time. I mean, you know, that's actually kind of a serious thing for me. I mean, that's, you know, the way they need to go about it. But, you know, the media is not going to help fix the problem. They're a part of the problem. So, you know, again, I mean, if Robert Kennedy Jr. were to go run this organization and he were to want to bring this person in as a deputy and they have to be confirmed, this is very fair information, right? I mean, it's important information. But, you know, like the way that it sounded tonight on here and the way that, you know, it sounded tonight on CNN an hour ago was exactly the way it sounded on here, which was, oh, God, I think they're going to want to do away with the polio vaccine. But that's not what anybody said.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And I think Robert Kennedy Jr. is a crackhead who could probably be put in a spaceship and, you know, just like shipped off the planet and we would all be better for it. But we have to report things accurately, and that's
right.
It's just the way that
it's
going to turn into a circus, and Trump is going to win.
Excuse me, we're going to be joined any moment now by Don Giller. I just want to mention that with Robert here, it kind of looks like our special guest tonight is Gandhi.
Richard.
Hello, Don Giller. How are you?
How come you don't have your shirt off, Don? Oh.
believe me, it's as a public service to the rest of us.
Yeah. Thank me for not.
You know.
Enjoy your shirts, Charlie.
So what is there a reason why you're calling, Don? Or are you just calling at the last minute to not give up your reputation?
Yeah, pretty much the latter.
Yeah. Yeah. Anything new in your life?
I had a very productive week, but we only have 5 minutes, so.
Yeah. Well, actually, we have three. We actually have two.
That's the all.
Reader's Digest condensed.
By the way, when you showed your meal there, Bree, looked just like the picture.
Yeah.
It looked just like the picture. They even drew the grill marks on the steak. So that it would look just like, yeah, see, that's just like the picture. Yeah. They probably, as they were putting that on the plate, I can imagine somebody back there working their ass off, looking at the picture and then arranging the food just like it is in the picture. And look who just joined us, Brian Neary. We maybe shouldn't sign off, you know, we should just, hello, Brian. How you doing?
I'm playing the part of what the hell? Who's that with his shirt off? Oh my god! What show did I call?
Oh my god! It's Robert. He's got a sauna at home, and he's sitting in the sauna.
And I have a hot tub, but I'm not in there naked. Oh my god!
I have a toilet.
I think we need to talk about Trump more, please. I'm playing the part of Don Giller. Dan Giller.
Yeah. So we got somebody eating in Malaysia, somebody taking a sauna out in where? California?
Virginia.
Oh, Virginia.
Virginia. Yeah.
We have somebody not taking a hot tub in California, and we have Don Giller.
Who's not sitting on the toilet?
By the way, how many of you are wearing pants tonight? I just wanted to know because sometimes I do this show in my shorts, okay?
Shorts.
And you never know. You never tell the difference. So, you know. Anyway, let me just start the theme here.
Next week, China.
Huh?
Then I'll be in Thailand for New Year's.
Oh, wow.
You'll be in Thailand for New Year's.
Nice. Join me in Bangkok, Alex. Bangkok is the place to be for New Year.
Bangkok? No, you?
You?
Feldman and Bubbles.
Yeah. Anyway, thank you very much, Jeff, for being with us tonight. We appreciate it. Of course, Alan, thank you. Josh, nice to have you here. Charlie, wonderful. Gandhi, terrific. Good having you here. And wait a minute. Oh, there's Oak.
Adrian.
She's growing up so fast, it's ridiculous.
There's a naked guy when I don't call them naked people.
Oh, no. Not naked. Don't worry about that.
He's not naked.
Brian out of the chair.
Thank you, Robert. Thank you to our friend in Malaysia, Bree. Thank you to our friend down the street, Don Giller. And
when does this start?
An hour ago.
It starts next Monday. Okay. And finally, Brian Neary, thank you all for being here. Give a big wave goodbye, and I'll give a big wave goodbye at you. There they go, folks. That's our citizen panel for this week. And it was really terrific. They were great tonight. It's good fun. Good fun. Stay tuned now for Amy Manuel with The Intersection. She'll be taking your calls on Skype at GabNet Live. I'll see you again on Monday for the pop-up show on Facebook, and also then over next Wednesday. Ooh, it'll be my birthday. I'll be 85 years old. My birthday on Wednesday. And we'll see Wednesday. Same time, same station in life. In the meantime, as always, if you see her, you know, tell her I love her, okay? Bye, everybody.